Hello and welcome to MNIT Talks. I'm Holly Patrick and today I'm chatting to Graham Alderman of Ulterior Events. We're talking about all things incentives from CRS, upcoming destinations and the future of the industry. Graham, hello and thank you for joining me today. Can you tell us a bit about Ulterior Events?
So we as a business have for 30 years or 29 years since my father started it, always been an incentive agency. This is our core business. It's what we do as a specialist, as an expert, and we're proud of that.
What has the pandemic done to Ulterior Events this year? How has your business changed?
As a business, we came out of that initial sort of March period. We had three big 200 people plus incentives in June lined up, over £1 million worth of business. And obviously then suddenly you've got that phone call from the client. What are we going to do? The first question was, is it going to be fine in June? And bizarrely, still in hindsight, it makes you look like a fool to say, yeah, it's going to be absolutely fine. But we all lived in that sort of slight naivety at that time.
Okay, we thought by September, the latest.
Well, totally. Well, that's exactly right. And I say, I look back now and think, I remember saying to a client, no, I'm sure it'll be okay. I hope that one's never recorded and comes out to get me.
Historically, incentives have obviously been pretty luxurious. So two questions here. Do you think the future of incentives, especially group incentives, where they're relying on an incentive planner, an event planner to do everything for them and they just turn up and have a good time. Do you think the onus is going to be more on safety standards opposed to luxury? Of course, you can have safe luxury venues and experiences, but do you think that for a while, maybe 2020, 2021, it's going to be the focus is going to be on safety standards?
Yeah, I think that's going to be your first conversation with a client. I think we've always said, or I've always said to my clients, that I don't put a five-star deluxe hotel by Table Mountain. I don't do that. That's already there. Table Mountain was there long before the hotel, but they're already there. That's not sort of part of what we do. What we do is build this program and the incentive that goes with it. And I think, so clients expect you to have that knowledge and understanding of what you can do. I think before that now was this new layer, which is how safe is it to go? I think that's going to be an opening conversation. So if a client says to me, Graham, where can I go next March? What's going to be safe? Now, at this point, who knows exactly where we're going to be in March or maybe next year. But I think they're going to want to know primarily which airport you're going to use this end. They're going to want to know what airline you're going to use. And you're going to need to know more than just it's got a flight at 8 o'clock in the morning, it gets there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're going to need to know, yeah, they've got, use the Middle Eastern airlines as Emirates and Etihad as an example. They've got their wellness ambassadors. They've got temperature checks. They've got everything. They've been really huge in promoting their value to the industry. And I think clients are going to want to know that. They're going to want to send out, if they're going to put an incentive out to their sales teams or their ops teams, they're going to say, we're going to go here and full COVID safety sheet will be part of that. There'll be, if somebody says, well, who are we going with? Emirates, please feel free to look at this link. This will give you that. It won't be a case of this is the flight times and what food you're going to get. It's going to be, this is what they've got lined up for you. And I think that's the same with hotels. I think there's going to be, this is where the DMC comes in. It's not a case of saying, oh, we've always used this hotel. It's knowing exactly what practices are in place. Clients, if you walk off a plane into an arrival airport at the other end and it's chaos or it's got no control, your whole trip's ruined. Mm-hmm. Know all that. And I do agree. I think that you're going to need to know that before you start talking, certainly before you start proposing. And if you don't, you're just setting yourself up for a client arriving the other end and going, my people don't feel safe here. And that's not what you need.
Where do you think client confidence is at the moment? What do you think, you know, planners can do to sort of to bolster that?
What we have to understand is that the euphoria that we felt when the vaccine was approved, that euphoria has to go on through other countries for our industry to start rolling again. In the meantime, what you've got to go on is what you know about the local destination. So I use the Middle East. I know that I've spoken at length with a lot of countries. Dubai have done an extraordinary job of getting the country ready. They've got, Dubai have thrown every millions at it to get it in ready. But it is. So if a client said to me, Graham, I want to go in March. We're definitely going away. Where could we go? I would have no hesitation of recommending Dubai. Would I guarantee safety? No, you can't guarantee safety. It goes back to 10 years ago, people say, or even currently, terrorism. Is it We cannot, as agents, guarantee that.
No.
But we can advise to the best of our knowledge.
But just going back to sustainability, which we briefly touched on on earlier, obviously it's been a hot topic for a really long time, and I think it's proving itself now in the events industry and the incentive industry. It's more than just a buzz phrase or, you know, just a one-off trend that's happening. What do you think the incentives industry is doing to ensure that sustainability becomes a necessity within the programs that you put together, opposed to it just being an afterthought?
I think that the sustainability model is, obviously we know it's growing, and rightly so. Otherwise it will be completely irreversible at some point, and we won't have many places to go to. It needs addressing, and it is being addressed. So I think you have two or three ways of looking at this. Your first thing is the actual mechanics of how you do an incentive trip and who's buying into the sustainability cause. So the airlines, which airlines are carbon neutral, like your Emirates and your Virgins and your EasyJets, and which ones are already have programs in place, because they become your first offering to your client. So if your client says, what's the flight options, and you go A, B and C, but A's so-and-so and it's carbon neutral, that's a better signal to send out to your staff, your clients, if it's a client incentive, and to your just general audience that you're using an airline. And it's the same with hotels. There's a lot of hotels now we know are very conscious about the chemicals they use for their laundry, very conscious about the amount of laundry they do, very conscious about having bees on rooftops. And I think, again, that becomes part of the offering that you can give your client directly. So if you have the knowledge and you have the information from the DMCs and your own knowledge and your own point of view on all this, you can sit with a client before you even get to things like a program and say, well, look, if we choose this and if we choose this and if we choose this, you've done a lot of good stuff already. Then when you get to the actual program, CSR, as we know, for the last 10 years has been there. It's been part and parcel of incentive trips where you can go to township in Cape Town and you can help them decorate a classroom or a school, and or you can go to various destinations and build bikes, or you can go to Vietnam, which we've done, and done CSR there. It's actually quite incredible. When we first started doing CSR conversations, clients would go, no, I don't think they'd enjoy that. It was like you were sort of saying, well, it's half a day off the beach to go and do some manual work. And it was seen as that. And it was seen as, oh, they won't really like that. Whereas now it actually becomes now a highlight of a trip. Because I find over the years that we all travel more. We all go to more places. This is why incentive travel has evolved as well, because you can't just plonk people on a beach in Barbados and not do a program, because a lot of people go there and holiday there and everything else. And I think with the CSR side of things is that people come away feeling good about something they've done.
Yeah.
It's seen as a half a day off the beach. It's seen as a massive plus. I think incentive travel has to leave a legacy soon. It has to be as least damaging to the planet as possible, and leave a legacy to the people that you meet, rather than just... We all leave smiles and handshakes and tips and gratuities, and that shouldn't stop, because that's the money they deserve. But community-wise, we need to leave more legacies in our industry.
In your professional opinion, where are those new upcoming destinations that you think are going to really come to the forefront in the next 5-10 years?
It's all about the infrastructure. There's some extraordinary destinations on the planet that you would still go, well, where's the next place? And you could go, well, I think it should be here. But they haven't yet got the road system. They haven't got the airport. They haven't got the hotels. So you're sometimes battling with clients who go, I saw this beautiful picture of wherever. Montenegro at the moment is top of the list as well. I think Montenegro is a beautiful destination. I think that's part of the world is going to be big.
So it might be a bit controversial, this next question, but
do you think
the virtual incentive?
No.
No, straight up. No. Have you seen any? Have you seen any successful ones, or just any virtual incentive?
I've seen... I think there's two or three that I've seen. There's quite a few things been going on. Obviously, we all watch what's going on, and there's been a lot of celebrity chefs being broadcast into people's homes and top DJs. And again, it has its place for now. It has its place for now. Is it a true incentive? As of now, it is, because when were you going to get Tom Kerridge saying, right, Graham, don't forget to stir your gravy? I get that, but is it something you're going to speak about forever? Probably not. But the incentive side of life, I can't see that anybody is going to put a virtual safari in their house before sitting watching the sunset in Sabi Sabi with a pride of lions sitting under a tree and you having a gin and tonic in your hand. I can't see that that's going to replace that, in my opinion, my humble opinion.
I think it's a very informed opinion. So then just in terms of the future of incentive travel, incentive programs, incentive trips, yep, what's it going to look like? Let's say 2021, 5 years time, 10 years time. What do you see it becoming?
I'm just going to get my crystal ball out. I think 2021, I think everything depends on January with the vaccine, not our vaccine, somewhere else, because I think obviously ours is going to roll out next week. So we start getting better. I think 2021 of the incentive market, I think the UK is strong now. So I think your Glen Eagles, your Cowarth Parks, your Tooting Glens, your Clifton's, your Limewoods, I think they're strong now. So if a client again wants to do a spring incentive, a buyout, I think exclusive use might become quite big. I think buying out a hotel, 15, 20 rooms, all everyone together, I think that might become quite a big part of the decision process. But I think the UK is strong. But I think this side of the summer, I can see a client saying, I've got to do something in the first half of the year. Where can I take a group? And I've alluded to the Middle East already, the Greek islands. You'd want to go to places where you just felt that things were comfortable. Would I put money on it right now? That's a different story. Mm-hmm. After the school holidays, 2021, I think that's when you're going to get back personally to the confidence of I want to book. The one thing that we don't know as agents is what the perception is of your actual clients anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. We're all bombarded on a daily basis by fake news. Our algorithms give us different news. You and I would get different news feeds. So we're all got different bits of information. So that is what our perceptions are. That's why there's so much sort of different opinions and everything. And the one thing that will be interesting is when you sit with a client and go A, B, and C, and they go, no, maybe, or yes, no, all these ones where you factually might be quite happy to take a group there. I again go back to years ago then when there sadly was a bomb in Marrakesh. 4 years later, nothing had happened in 4 years, but the perception from him was Marrakesh is dodgy. And again, you can't, and as soon as you get that, you can't change that, because the day you change it, you're setting yourself up for a fall. So you can just present the facts. So I think this year it is, who knows, I've said it earlier on, but I think your certain destinations will come to the fore as being as safe as they can be based on no vaccine, but your perception is they're safe, the airlines are safe, or you're going to get the vaccine rollout where you start going, oh, well, I'm quite happy to go back out there. But I think the end of the year, that's when it's going to start evolving properly. And in the next 5 years, I just think there will be a huge growth in the CSR side of things. I think there'll be a huge growth again in sustainability. I think that will become such a part of a program that you'll know and get to a point where you know now there's obviously, like, if you want to send it, in the old days, and I say old days, I've been doing this for 30 years, you could send your client a great big gift to their office and everyone loved it. Well, now you can't because they get taxed on it. So clients don't want gifts because there's a tax on it and everything else. That's been going on for years. I think that you'll get a situation soon where clients will want sustainability and CSR at the top of their agenda, because that's their sort of justification. And I think incentives will need more justification. I don't think they'll reduce. I just think we'll have to evolve in what they are and what they become.
Naturally. But yeah, it's a positive change as well to make.
It is. It's not. That's exactly right. The thing is, if you're saying, well, what's actually changing here? Well, we're still doing incentives, but we're going to help the local communities far more than we've ever done. And we're going to leave more and more legacies. And we're going to make sure the venues, the airlines we choose are all doing good for the planet. There's not much in that that's wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree. So we've done a bit of reminiscing, which was lovely. Definitely indulged us and got, I'm sure, we got me very excited to go traveling.
Oh, to be back.
But let's have a little look into 2021. And what are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to putting on my LinkedIn profile in the morning and seeing me and the other agency showing off these great things we've done. We won't be able to do hashtag Throwback Thursday, because we'll actually have something there. We'll have real stuff, and we'll be we'll be sending Instagram posts that to you on location. And I honestly cannot wait to get back to my day job.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those updates on LinkedIn. Hopefully very soon.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Graham.
Well, thank you.